Jesus, our rock, it is so comforting to know that no matter how hard the winds blow or whatever the earth throws our way, that you are strong and immovable and steadfast and secure. And I thank you that by faith we are in Christ, that we will be carried through the judgment someday, but that also means that we have access and relationship for all of your power and strength for right now. We worship you this morning, O God, and say that there is none like you. There is none who is faithful like you. There's no one better to cling to. There's no one better to trust in. There's no other name to hope in. And so this morning, O Lord, we bring you our praise and our trust and our worship and ask you, God, to meet us here today. Thank you, God, for the truth of that song. We also pray, Lord, that you would meet us in the scriptures today. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for giving us your word. We ask that you would give us insight and understanding into what it means. I pray that every single person here can hear from you, Lord, in our hearts. Speak to all of us. Speak to me. Speak to every person. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a seat. Good morning. I'm so glad to see all of your beautiful faces today. Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Colossians, chapter 2. Colossians, chapter 2. Man, this is one of my favorite books in the Bible. Colossians is just a great letter from the Apostle Paul to a church. And there are so many amazing things going on in this passage. I resisted the urge for us to read about 40 verses this morning in Colossians because it's so good. But we're going to zero in today, starting in chapter 2, verse 20. And the title of this morning's sermon is called If, because we're going to see two big ifs in this passage. So Colossians chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 20. And if you didn't get a chance to bring a Bible or an app on your phone or your device that you're reading along with, there's a Bible in the pew rack in front of you. So please help yourself and follow along with us. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 20. And Paul writes to say this, if, hey, there's one of the ifs, okay? If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? I'll read that again. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism. Asceticism, by the way, if you're wondering about that word, is sort of this external behavior-based way of trying to make your life more spiritual. There was this belief that if I sort of stopped doing some of the things that Christians frown upon, and if I started doing more good works, that I could sort of become a higher kind of a Christian. Basically, you can think of this, that I could move from JV to varsity by doing external works. And in Paul's context right here, he's not just talking about adding good works, but he's also saying, making sure that you don't do the things that the super spiritual varsity people in the church would frown upon if they saw you doing them. And Paul says that has an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion. By the way, self-made religion, that's bad. If you're keeping score this morning, not a good thing. And asceticism and severity to the body, that thing of, oh, you know, let me fast and let me sort of say out loud that I'm fasting and aren't you impressed that I'm fasting and I'm you know, not participating in society and I'm not engaging in culture and I'm not watching TV and I'm not doing any of those worldly things. That has an appearance of wisdom, but that self-made religion, asceticism, severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. They're of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Chapter 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ. Hey, look, there's our second if. So go back to verse 20 for a moment. If with Christ you died, and now in verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, and set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. In that section of chapter 3 there, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, and then set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you have died. This death and life, this death and resurrection in Christ is such a huge part of what's going on here. I want to zero in a little bit more this morning on these two big ifs. If you have died in Christ, if you've been raised in Christ, there are some massive implications for how we live. So let's jump in together. Number one, the first one is this. If you died to this world, and I put in parentheses, and you have. See, Paul is using a technique, a device here that's basically a rhetorical question. If you have died, he's not asking the question, by the way, have you died in Christ? No, he's saying, if you have died in Christ, and you have. This is verse 20. Look at your text. If you have, then why are you doing some things that would be in keeping with you being alive to the world? If you've died with Christ in your spiritual life, if you are not a person of the flesh anymore, but you're a person of the Spirit, if you have died in Christ, meaning that you no longer belong to this world, but you belong to Jesus, if you have died with Christ, meaning that you have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son, if you have died in Christ, meaning that you are no longer living according to the flesh, but you are living according to the new life of Jesus Christ by grace. If that's true, and it is, and you have, then I'm going to put this up here, letter A. Look at this. I want this wording to be helpful to you this morning. If that's true, then do not submit to man-made regulations in the things of God as a way to impress God or people. It's a lot of words, but I need you to see it all. That's what he's saying. Why, again, are you submitting to these man-made regulations, this self-made religion, this asceticism, this sort of severity to the body, sort of this limiting yourself, and aren't you so spiritual for limiting yourself? Why are you doing all of this to impress God or to impress people? Because that's a worldly standard, and you have died to the world. If you have died to this world, and you have, do not submit to man-made regulations. And Paul gives us some reasons why. First of all, he says is that your flesh will continue to facilitate sin. Your flesh will continue to facilitate sin. There may be some people in the room who have a struggle with lust, that the human form stirs up inappropriate desire and ungodly sexual desire in your heart and mind, and you struggle with lust, and the seeing the human form, clothed or unclothed, brings you to a place of temptation, and you have a real propensity, or you have a tendency to be pulled away in the desire of lust. And if you say, well, I struggle with lust, so I'm never going to the beach again, because when I go to the beach, there are people in swimsuits, and I struggle with lust, so I'm never going to the beach again. That's one of these man-made kind of regulations that Paul is talking about here. And he says this, well, you can say you're never going to the beach again, but all you did was remove the stimulus. You have not dealt with the thing that makes you sin, which is your flesh, your heart. Let's see if you're tracking with me this morning. Man-made regulations and man-made self-restriction and man-made trying to do the right things or not do these other things that will have no benefit for you winning the war against sin. If you struggle with lust and say you're not going to the beach, you've just removed the beach temptation. Lustful desires are still in here because the beach isn't a lustful place. Your heart is lustful. So you may say, I'm not going to watch TV because there are worldly things in the TV and I don't want to be a part of ungodliness. You cannot watch TV, and that doesn't mean that you will have conquered ungodliness, because the ungodliness is not in the flat screen. The ungodliness is in our hearts. This is huge because Paul is training us to understand that taking on all of these super spiritual religious, well, I don't do that, or I do this, taking on all these things will have no benefit. That's exactly what he says. It will have no value at the end of verse 23 in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. You want to battle greed? You want to battle lust? You want to battle pride? You want to battle envy? It's not going to happen because you stop doing certain external things. Greed, lust, pride, envy, they all start from the inside. And I would argue that you take a man or a woman who struggles with lust and you can put them in a room with no windows and no television and no internet, and they will still struggle with lust. Because it's not about, do I go to the beach or not go to the beach? Do I go online or not go online? It's about the heart. We do want to stop the indulgence of the sin. And if you've got a clear way to help yourself in the battle against lust, and if the beach is a rough place for you, go snow skiing. People wear lots of clothes when they snow ski. Make that your vacation. I'm not saying don't be wise. I'm actually saying be wise and don't think that just by saying I'm not going to the beach that I've conquered lust. Make good choices. Be smart. Avoid certain places. Avoid certain sites on your computer. Avoid certain apps you know that lead you down roads to sinfulness and ungodliness. But do not think that the avoidance of the beach is conquering lust. The external things are not the source of sin. Your flesh will continue to facilitate sinfulness, even if you do the external things. Something else here about man-made regulations. They promote a works righteousness. Man-made regulations promote a works righteousness. One of the most dangerous messages on the planet is that in order to please God, you need faith plus something else. And friends, we have to understand that the gospel is absolutely clear that it is faith plus nothing equals salvation. You do not have to work to impress God or to stay in God's good graces or to stay saved. It is by grace through faith, and that's it. Well, if you don't see those kind of movies, then maybe you're okay. Well, if you make sure you don't eat that or drink that, then you're probably okay. No, faith plus nothing. Faith alone, by God's grace alone. And when we embrace these man-made regulations, well, I gotta make sure that I'm doing the things that the new church folks told me I got to do. And by the way, if you're not a church person, if you haven't been around church for a while, when we bring you into the church and we wrap our arms around you and we bring you in as a part of our family and we kind of say, hey, come on in. We're still trying to figure our own stuff out. And, you know, nobody in this room is perfect. Nobody in this room has all their junk together. We're all trying to follow Jesus the best way we can. So come on in. Come on in. Let's go. We are going to work really hard not to just try to hand you a bunch of new rules that are man-made. We're going to say, learn this book, live this book, get this book in you, let this book come out of you, get this book as in front of your face, get this book in your life, live by this book. But we are not going to teach you some sort of a man-made righteousness as if you needed to do certain behaviors in order to be saved. Anytime you move the gospel from being faith alone, you pervert the gospel to be something less than what the Bible teaches. It is by grace, through faith, that you are saved. It is the gift of God. You have not earned it. I have not earned it. And we need to make sure that we never promote a works-based righteousness. The Bible here is also teaching us something else. Man-made regulations rob Jesus of glory. Man-made regulations rob Jesus of glory. In this way, what happens here is that we begin to see that, well, okay, now I'm a Christian, so that if I can do certain things on the good list, then I will be maybe moving from JV to varsity Christian, or maybe I will impress God because maybe God will love me more. That's works righteousness. Make sure this is settled in your heart, that God loves you perfectly and completely, whether you do good things or bad things. God didn't save you and then put you on probation and then hand you little I love you more tickets if you do good things. You cannot be more loved by God because He already loves you to the full. And when we make it about us, when we make it about what we do, and it's contrary to the gospel, and it's not real biblical truth at all, it also robs Jesus the glory He deserves, because on the cross He gave His life, and He who knew no sin became sin for us, and God poured out on Him all the wrath that you and I deserved, and He finished it Himself. He alone finished it. I don't finish it when I do good works. I don't finish it when I'm a good person. I don't finish it when I avoid the bad or do the good things. I don't do anything. I am only here by the grace of God in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And I don't want to rob Him of any glory to think that anything I have spiritually is based on me. Oh, friends, let's make sure it's always about Jesus. And let's make sure that we revere and worship and never get over what He did on the cross, and remind ourselves every day that when He said it was finished, it was finished. And I don't need to do anything else to add anything else. It's finished. And man-made regulations pull the attention to man, and they pull the attention off the glorious, beautiful Son of God who came in outrageous love and gave His life as a ransom for many. Glory to Jesus. Glory and honor and blessing and power and riches forever and evermore to the Lamb who was slain. All glory to Him. And not to us. For if we stand before God, and we do, it's not because of our behavior, it's because of His sacrifice. If we stand before God acceptable and loved, and we do, it's not because we follow certain man-made regulations, it's because we follow the Bible that just says, come to Him in faith. Faith alone. Lastly, under this one, man-made regulations put people in the place of judgment. Man-made regulations put people in the place of judgment. Man-made regulations are this idea of, okay, you're a Christian and I'm a Christian, but okay, now you've got a set of expectations for me for how I should do things, how I should behave myself, how I should do certain things, what I should wear, what I should do, all this man-made stuff. And if I invite you in and I've got all these man-made regulations, then I am putting myself in a place of judgment with you that says, okay, great, you're going to believe in Jesus? Now come on in. Oh, by the way, it's not just the Bible, but we've got a long list of things that you didn't know about. Well, are those things written down? Oh, no, 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 no. In the Western modern church, we've really gotten really good. We don't write them down. You're just supposed to know the good stuff and the not good stuff. It's kind of funny, but it's kind of tragic. You're just supposed to know the things that you're not supposed to do. Oh, I got to do more? Well, not biblically, no. But in order for us to be happy with you, yep. I saw them at such and such restaurant the other day. I saw that person coming out of an R-rated movie. I saw man-made regulations put people in the place of judgment, and that is never a good thing, because flesh will corrupt. Would you please be free this morning? Would you please be free this morning that you do not have to perform at Bel Air Baptist Church in order to be accepted? You are welcome here, and we're not going to be list keepers judging your life. It's faith plus nothing equals salvation. Be free. Jesus died to make you free. Jesus finished it so you wouldn't have to add to it. Let me say that again. Jesus finished it so you wouldn't have to add to it. So friends of Bel Air, as we get ready to welcome new folks from Murfreesboro into our community, as we get ready to welcome college students next weekend, I can't wait for college students to be back in town, as we get ready to welcome more of the city into being people who know, love, and follow Jesus, let's not try to tell them that they need to add to what Jesus has done. Let's welcome them in and say, if they'll live their lives by this book, let's invite them in to live the book. And if the book's in them, it'll take care of the stuff that we often get all riled up about. Because I believe that if a man or a woman is keeping in step with the Spirit and they are living by the Word of God, ungodliness will be convicted in their heart by the Holy Spirit, not the church member's Holy Spirit. So let's welcome people. Let's be ready to introduce them to faith plus nothing. Because performing to be accepted, that's a worldly thing. What's the top of number one say? We've died to the world. Perform to be accepted, that's a worldly thing. And we've died to that. That's not who we are. So let's make sure it never creeps in here. Amen? Faith plus nothing. Whew, that's freeing. That's freeing. There's one more if in this passage. Number two, it's in Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ. So if you have been raised with Christ, and guess what? You have. If you have been raised with Christ, he says, do not seek or set your mind on the things of earth, but seek the things that are above and set your minds on things above. That's straight out of the text. Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things of the earth. Why? Because we've died and our life is now hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4 is one of my favorite verses to say out loud. Look at it with me in your text. Verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Here's the part I like to say out loud, and I like to say it deliberately this way. When Christ, who is your life, appears. He's our life. He's everything. He defines us. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, we will appear also with him in glory. So we're not supposed to seek the things of earth or to set our minds on the things of earth. We're supposed to set our minds on and to seek the things what? Above. To seek the things above. So let me give you a little bit of a graph here that's going to come up on the screen here. Go ahead and pull this up. Here are just a couple of things that the Lord has put on my mind that are true of the things on earth and that are true of things above. We could preach a thousand sermons on things that are of above. But here are a couple of things that the Lord put on my mind. On earth, there's this idea of asserting a self-supremacy, meaning I can do it, I got this, I'm somebody, look at me, value me, validate me, like my posts. There's a lot of, like, I can do this, I don't need anybody else's help, I've got this, I can pull myself up, I can take care of myself, I don't need anybody else, I got this. That's a thing of the world. But above, there's a confidence where Christ is seated with God. There's a confidence in God's supremacy. And what Paul is saying, don't seek or set your minds on the way of the world in self-supremacy. Set your minds on and seek the things above, God's supremacy. So let that change the way you handle suffering and trial and opportunity and decisions and family. Let that change everything where it doesn't become a question of, can I do this? Let it become a situation of, I know God can do this. Maybe you're facing something right now that really has you afraid. Maybe you're facing something right now and it really has you intimidated. Maybe you're facing something right now and it has stirred up a lot of worry in your life. And that might be, it might be because you have slipped, just subtly and accidentally, you have slipped into the thinking of the way of the world that says, I wonder if I can do this. I wonder if I can conquer this. I wonder if I can pull this off. I wonder if I have what it takes. I wonder if I can measure up. I wonder if I. And anytime you put yourself at the center of the focus, fear is going to come, anxiety is going to come, because you are limited. So set your minds on things above where there is no limit. Amen? I don't want to seek the things of the world where I just work to get people to be impressed with me or to try to just build myself up where I can handle more. I want to be capable with the opportunities God gives me. I want to be a good steward of the moments God gives me. I want to be sharp. I want to be prepared. I want to be diligent. I want to have a high work ethic. I want to work and scrape and sweat, but I want to do so because it's part of the mission of how I live my life, not because I'm trying to show myself as something really strong. That's the thinking of the earth. Impress us with how strong you are. I want to seek the things above. I want to set my mind on the things above. And whatever I'm facing, I want to say, God can do that. God can do that. I can't, but God can. I wonder if that's a part of his plan. Lord, would you reveal your plan for this situation by working in this situation, Lord? And would you please flex your arm because I'm limited, but you are not. Let us be men and women who seek that which is above, which is a confidence in God's supremacy. It may have been for some people in the room today. That's why you're here, that God would remind you that it's not about you. So rest in that. The other thing that God put on my mind this morning, the other little comparison here, is that on earth, there's this mindset of Get the most you can before it's over. Get the most you can before it's over. Somehow in my memory, back when I was a child, I can't remember exactly how old I was, but I was watching some local TV show in one of the places where we lived. My dad was in the oil business. We moved about 7 times when I was growing up. And in one of the towns we were living in, I was watching television, probably the $6 Million Man, which was an awesome show. And some of you young people don't know what that is, but you should YouTube it. You'll laugh and you won't watch it, but it was awesome. And so I'm watching this TV show at some point, and I just remember that some local grocery store came on, and they were advertising a big promotion they had going on for something called a shopping spree. And I didn't know what in the world that was, but they explained it. They said everybody gets to put their name on a card, and the lucky winner who gets their name drawn out of the hat will get to take an empty shopping cart, and they will have 3 minutes to run all over the store, and they get to keep whatever they can put in their basket for 3 minutes. They get to keep it for free. And I thought, oh my goodness, that sounds amazing. I want to go to there. That is an awesome thing. I would love to do that. Doesn't that sound fun? Can you imagine if Best Buy did a shopping spree? I mean, we'd have charts and graphs and strategies. We'd be doing training in the backyard. I got 3.5 minutes. I'm going to be ready. I got to work on my jump off the blocks. I got to have some Usain Bolt running through me in this moment. I got to get ready to go because I'm going to hit the flat screens first. And I'm going to make my way back over to the PS4s. And then I really want some of those Bose headphones. So I got to figure out how to. We would be strategizing like crazy, wouldn't we? What's your store? Some of you ladies would just be, oh, what about a shopping spree at Kirkland's? Can I have one of those? Sure, that'd be fine. Three and a half minutes, 4 minutes, whatever it was, to run all. Can you just picture that? Pushing that cart through the store, going around corners on 2 wheels. Ah, hurry! Maybe at some point you just drag your arm down the aisle at the last second. You're running down the counter, stuff falling in the basket, creating this disastrous wake behind you. The truth is, some of us are living like that with our lives. I'm going to die sometime. The clock's going to run out, so I got to get the most while I can. I got to get more stuff. I got to have more than my neighbor has. That's the way of the world, that you only get to live a little while, so make sure you get the most while you can. Make sure you get the most before it's over. It's the way of the world. That's on earth. That's with earthly eyes, that this is all there is. And maybe you're new to church and new to being a Christian or not a Christian and just checking things out. Let me just be clear today. This world that we live in, the things that we can see with our eyes, is not all there is. And everybody is going to live forever. Those who believe in Jesus will live in heaven with God, and those who do not believe in Jesus will live eternally apart from God in eternal suffering. It's just true. This lifespan that we have is not all there is. And so above, there is the peace that comes from an eternal perspective. We're rushing around. I only got a couple of years. I only got a couple of decades. I only have a little bit of time. I got to get this. I got to do this. I got to do that. It's going to be over at some point. And the devil has got you distracted with the shiny stuff of earth. And your mind is not on above. And you're not living like there's an above. And you're chasing after things that will burn up. You're chasing after things that will go away. You are chasing after things that can be stolen or decay or rust. Do not seek the things of the earth, but seek the things above where Christ is seated. I want you to get that picture for a moment. I want you to get that picture in your mind for a moment of Christ seated in heaven above. Right now, above, Christ is seated on the throne. And while we're scurrying around on the earth, where Christ is seated, He never fidgets. He never feels anxious. He never feels rushed. He never feels frazzled or scrambling or hectic, because he is holding all things together and he is the keeper of time. And he knows, and the Father knows, that there will be a moment that the Bible calls the fullness of time, that when the fullness of time has come, Christ will return and everything will change. But he's not worried, he's not fidgeting, he's not scurrying. He is seated in peaceful power because he is sovereignly reigning over everything forever. Well, I may only get 85 years, I may only get 95 years, I may only get 65 years, I may only get 49 years. That's looking at the earth. We are forever people. And I hope that for some of you this morning that you can be encouraged to not feel like you need to scurry around during your life to collect more earth stuff, or to scurry around because somebody's going to blow the whistle and the game will be over and your shopping spree will have been done. By the way, everything you have collected in the stuff of earth is going to go away. So don't let the enemy distract you from love and the mission of the gospel and from the joy of your family and from the joy of being a part of what God wants to do in the earth. Don't let him distract you by being too much in love with the stuff of earth. Set your heart and mind on things above. Would you bow with me? Let's pray. If you would just close your eyes and bow your head and not really put your stuff away just yet, and really focus in on what the Lord wants to say to you. Just be still for a moment. Just be still. For some of you this morning, we're going to have a time of response and you need to have a moment of repentance. Maybe it's just where you're standing or sitting. Maybe it's just where you are. Maybe you need to come forward and pray with somebody. You might even want to come forward and just get on your knees on the stage here. Just be with the Lord. Some of you need to have a moment of repentance because you've been living trying to impress God or people. You've been trying to impress God or people. And this morning, he's reminded you that he already loves you to the full. Others of you, your response this morning is going to be a moment of repentance and claiming God's forgiveness because you've been holding people around you to man-made regulations. You've been requiring them to go beyond grace for your acceptance. You've been imposing judgment, either out loud or even in your heart. You've been judging others because they don't do the things you think they should, or because they do the things you don't think they should. Some of you this morning need to have a moment of repentance because you have been chasing the stuff of earth. You have been captivated by the things of this world. Others of you this morning need to worship the Lord and rest in your soul, knowing that God is in control of what you're facing right now. That it's not about whether you're strong enough. It's about the truth that he is strong enough. How is God moving in your heart to respond this morning? Church family, would you stand with me? This time I'm going to ask our prayer teams to come and be available down front. And as we sing this song of response, if it would be meaningful for you to come and pray with somebody, we'll be available. Pray about anything, a decision, a need, a sickness, a situation, a relationship, anything in your life. If you want to come and join your life with this church and become a member at Bel Air and track with us as we follow Jesus, come on and come tell us about that and we'll get you set up. Or if you just want to come and ask somebody to pray with you, maybe it's about a lust struggle that I mentioned this morning, or pride or envy. But let's not just be people who listened and forgot, but let's be responders today. Let's sing and worship the Lord together.